Welcome to the Conservative Thought Hour, where America always comes first.
I'm proud to be an American.
Each week, we bring you captivating guests who will speak on many topics of national interest. We are not interested in telling you what to think or how to think. We have faith that you can do that for yourself. Our interest is to bring you information to help you form your own opinions. As always, the views expressed by our guests are their own and are not necessarily shared by the host or the station you are listening to. Get ready for enlightenment with the Conservative Thought Hour.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
And now, here are your hosts, Carrie Black and Rick Stannard.
And welcome to another edition of the Conservative Thought Hour. Thanks so much for listening. Rick Stannard, political activist. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I am spectacular, Carrie. Thank you.
Good. And we're so happy to have on Larry Klayman this morning, the author of It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. Klayman is founder and former chairman of the successful nonprofit foundation Judicial Watch and the current chairman of Freedom Watch. Larry, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We have lots to get to.
You're welcome. My honor. Thanks for having me.
Good. Larry, you were a founder of Judicial Watch, and now you run Freedom Watch. And for our listeners, Freedom Watch is one heck of a site. It's freedomwatchusa.org. So if you should get there, listeners, and see what he has to say. But Larry, what's the difference between the two groups? Why Freedom Watch now?
In 2003, after having founded and run Judicial Watch for about 10 years, I left and I ran for the U.S. Senate in Florida. Okay, I'm from Florida, Boca Raton, right, currently. And I didn't win. I came out and I started Freedom Watch. And Freedom Watch, actually, it's a name I took from West Wing because they had created a character after me. Aaron Sorkin, the leftist producer, created Harry Claypool of Freedom Watch. I thought it was a good name. And I do today at Freedom Watch what I used to do at Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch mostly just gets documents because Tom Fitton's not a lawyer, so they focus on getting documents. I get documents, but I also bring hard-hitting cases, citizens' grand juries. We have a Third Continental Congress in Philadelphia on July 5th and 6th, where we're discussing, you know, how we take this country back with delegates, our 245th anniversary of our first Declaration of Independence, and we're going to declare independence again, and we're going to start a discussion as to how the American people need to rise up to reclaim our country from the radical leftists that have seized control. So that's what I do today, and that's the difference between Freedom Watch and Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is mostly document acquisition. We are trial lawyers that go into court and bring hard-hitting legal actions at freedomwatchusa.org.
Well, I have to tell the readers, I read your book yesterday, and it was one of those books that you just do not want to put down. It just goes from page to page. It names names and points fingers at specific things. And you certainly are not a shy retiring author. I mean, holy dooly, what a great book this is.
No, thank you. I mean, I had to put it all down because, you know, I generally write a weekly column, you know, where I address the issues of today. I haven't written one in the last few weeks, but it needed to be all in one place. And the American people needed to understand just how bad things are. And the book was written even before the two stooges, Biden and Harris, took control of this country. And that's what I call them, because they're doing the bidding of the radical left, of the socialists, the communists, the atheists, and the other radicals. But it's my experience as a lawyer, 44 years in the trenches, something, as much as I admired Rush Limbaugh, he would never truly understand because he was in a radio studio. But I was actually living this. And as Jefferson predicted, federal judges, unelected, unaccountable to the people, he predicted they would become despots and tyrants, causing us one day, about every 20 years, to shed the blood of patriots and tyrants yet again. And he added, what's a few thousand dead to refresh the tree of liberty? He understood human nature. He said judges were no more honest than any other man or woman. He did not want to see anyone dead or hurt or harmed, neither do I. But he was predicting what could happen and what would likely happen. And things have gotten so bad in today's world that although what happened on January 6th was not really violent, there were just a couple bad people on either side. Mm-hmm. It was mostly peaceful. This was the American people letting off steam. It was a warning as to what could happen. There could be the equivalent of the storming of the Bastille, you know, in France on 1789, July 14th, because they saw just how corrupt their government was, and they saw how corrupt the federal judiciary was. Trump's own judges, his own appointed judges and Supreme Court justices, would not even give him a hearing on whether there was election fraud or election irregularities. These were sham proceedings. These judges got rid of it. Their establishment, they get there through campaign contributions and other forms of what is in effect bribery. And this is why I wrote the book, because I've experienced this over the years. These judges are so compromised and corrupt that there no longer is a solution in the legal system anymore. You have to create your own legal system and take it outside of man-made law to the law of nature, nature's God, as we say in our Declaration of Independence.
Well, certainly the length of judicial terms was the primary argument between Jefferson and Hamilton. Jefferson wanted short terms and Hamilton wanted lifetime terms. And I think we've come to the realization that lifetime terms are not working. Are you in favor of term limits for judges?
Yes, but also what Jefferson was suggesting was that we elect judges, that we don't appoint them. And how do they get appointed? As appointed and nominated, they're unaccountable to the people. He pointed out, as I say in my book, It Takes a Revolution, and I quote him, that because they're not accountable, they would become despots and tyrants, and they would be the primary cause of another revolution. And in fact, they've become that way. And the people saw that in the days leading up to January 6th of this year. So although electing them is not perfect either, it's 1,000% better than putting them on the bench based on, you know, money contributions and other forms of legalized bribery and otherwise of special interest groups. So they become the yes men, just like King George III's judges were his yes men.
No question about it. Well, if you look and ask conservatives, they were all happy that Trump appointed three conservatives. They thought this is the start of a new era, but apparently not, because there doesn't seem to be much of a change at the Supreme Court level in their decisions.
Well, that's right. They're establishment people. They don't get there by being bold or taking risks. They want to be part of the crowd, and they want to go to the parties in Georgetown, in Washington, and state capitals. They are not courageous people, generally speaking, and many of them are simply intellectually or actually dishonest. And see, this is what got under my skin and why I wrote the book, It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry, is that, you know, I believe in the legal system. I'm an ideologue. And when you see just how corrupt it is, and it's corrupt to the core, the legal profession is the most corrupt profession, in my opinion, in the United States and around the world. That's why Shakespeare said, figuratively speaking, let's kill all the lawyers. I think he also meant judges as well, figuratively speaking, because they are lawyers.
Oh, wow.
And congressmen and senators, because they're also lawyers, generally speaking. I'm not advocating killing anyone, by the way. I'm just quoting Shakespeare. I'm in for peaceful and legal means to change things.
I'm glad we got that straight.
Yeah. But, as somebody who believes in the system who has to live through this, that's why I felt so compassionate about writing this book. And it's why we're holding our Third Continental Congress in Philadelphia on July 5th and 6th. And I hope people will come. You can sign up at freedomwatchusa.org. If you can't get there, you can watch it live streamed at freedomwatchusa.org and crowdsourcethetruth.com. And it's going to be covered by two television networks. So
that's great.
Listen to what we say. We have some great speakers, Alan Keyes, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, a host of others, Ammon Ryan and Cliven Bundy, many of my clients, people who have been really harmed by the government, over the years, and they can testify as to the dishonesty and deceit, and frankly, criminality of many of the things that our government perpetrated upon them.
Yeah. Well, changing tack just a little bit, the level of proof for libel in a courtroom of common citizens is very different from that for public figures. The teenager Nicholas Sandman has reportedly made a significant amount of money from corporate media over their untrue stories. Why can a president not have the same opportunity? Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump was libeled often on TV by many TV personalities. Can we change the libel laws to try reining in the obscene abuse of the media's position?
Well, we certainly should, and that's why we need a new government. I mean, we need representatives who are elected without, you know, fraud, ballot boxes being stuffed, you know, whatever the case may be. We need a deep state, you know, which is cleaned out, you know, of the left in particular. And we need a judiciary that'll do its job. But it's not just a question of the laws. It is who administers the laws. And, you know, many of our founding fathers said, you know, if you're going to be able to continue with a free and open country, it doesn't matter how many times you change your rulers or forms of government, what ethics, morality, and religion, you will not have a lasting liberty. That was John Adams, just days before signing the Declaration of Independence. The problem today is that these federal judges in particular, Florida state court judges are generally much better, I might add, because they're elected, they're accountable. They're not perfect. There are some that are great, some that are terrible, some that are dishonest, some that are honest. But the federal judges, by and large, are not honest. And they are political hacks, to be blunt, okay? And there's a case in the Supreme Court, Bell Atlantic versus Twombly, where the Supreme Court said that if a complaint, when you file it, has any plausibility, that you must let it continue and go on to the jury. Let them make the decision. And these federal judges now are taking cases away from the jury, turning that decision by the Supreme Court on its head, saying we get to decide what's plausible or not. So even in a good, even in a well-pled defamation case, they will most frequently come in and say, no, I'm not letting this case continue if it deals with a, you know, a political issue or an issue which is highly charged or controversial. And they'll get rid of it and never let it go to the jury. And then the appellate courts will affirm, and the Supreme Court won't take it up on certiorari. So that's what you have. It's like the American Football League and the National Football League, all part of the NFL. They work together. They think they're superior to who we are. They think they're somehow the new American nobility. And they protect each other because both Democrats and Republicans are making money hand over fist, acquiring power. And the American people, generally speaking, can be damned. And their lackeys are these federal judges that perpetuate, you know, their sense of superiority and control over our lives. And that sounds extreme, but I've now experienced it for 44 years, and that's why I detailed it in my book. I didn't just, you know, say it. I gave concrete examples of what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Conservative Thought Hour, another hour of enlightenment. We are speaking with Larry Klayman. He is the author of It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal. He's also the founder and former chairman of the successful nonprofit foundation Judicial Watch and the current chairman of Freedom Watch. And Larry, in your book, you speak about the Clintons and others who did unspeakable evil and probably, as we speak, still are. Does it break your heart to know that with the passage of time, that the chances of their truce and what they've done are going to disappear and we won't know about all of them? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good question. It's one of the things that, you know, I talk about in the book. Is there things that we can do to reclaim our legal system? You know, our founding fathers, King George took it away from us. He took it back to the court of St. James in England. That was one of the reasons that we declared independence 245 years ago and formed a new nation. But Justice Scalia in 1992, in a case, United States versus Williams, wrote on behalf of the court, the grand jury belongs to the American people. It does not belong to the three branches of government. We have the right, and we've been doing this at Freedom Watch. And you can see 14 sessions so far of the grand jury we commissioned, citizens grand jury. We have the right to commission our own grand juries. We have the right to indict. We have the right to try. We have the right to convict. We have the right to sentence. And we even have the right to carry out citizens' arrests, although, you know, we'll do it peacefully and legally. Even in the most leftist-oriented of all states, California, which is totally out of control, as we all know, there's a law, there's a statute that says if you know of someone committing a felony, you may arrest them and turn them over to authorities. And this is what needs to be done, whether it's the Clintons, whether it's the Bidens, mm-hmm. with massive bribes from communist China, Ukraine, and Russia, whether it's Robert Mueller, we indicted him last year. We indicted Joe Biden, Hunter, and his son James in the last few weeks. You can see that at freedomwatchusa.org, and we're going to try them. You know, the American people need to mete out justice because we have a Justice Department which is corrupt to the core. They're now out there terrorizing the countryside like a German Gestapo to quell all dissent over people that were in Washington peacefully, most of them, on January 6th. I have some clients in that regard.
Oh, wow.
That I'm defending, you know. And so we need to reclaim our own legal system, and we have the right to do it like our founding fathers did and like the colonialists did. And that's one of the things that I suggest in my book. I'm not saying that we go out violently and arrest people, okay? I think when we get the convictions, we'll ask sheriffs and law enforcement, who at that point will probably have had it. They'll be fed up, and, you know, we'll ask them to enforce it. But they're about ready to break away from the establishment as well. They've been maligned. They've been attacked. They've been killed. The police, the dirty little secret is they let the people into the Capitol on January 6th.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the military, there were 140 ex-generals, retired generals and admirals, who wrote a letter to Biden a few weeks ago, said, shape up or ship out. You know, you're subverting our Constitution. You're turning this country over to socialist, communists, and atheists. And the implication was, you know, shape up or ship out. I'm not advocating a coup d'etat, but you push the military too far, and we may have one in this country, ultimately.
Well, that's a wonderful story. It's a heck of a mess. We know that all soldiers have to follow orders, but watching Gilday and Miley on television just made me want to be ill.
Who did you watch on TV?
I'm sorry?
Oh, the chief of staff. I mean, yeah. You know, this is, people don't understand it. I think, you know, I saw Tucker Carlson the other night, who called him a few names, which I understand why Tucker did. but these people are politicians. They basically, you know, have to suck up to the powers to be to get to be chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. They're highly political. And make no mistake about it, you know, that's how he got his job. He bowed down to the powers to be in Washington, D.C. And you see that over and over again. And the same is true of these federal judges. That's how they got on the bench. They had to suck up to people to get on the bench and get large campaign contributions. There's one federal judge that was put forth by Sheldon Whitehouse, that vile senator from the mafia-infested state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And he paid $500,000 in campaign contributions to get his judgeship, federal judgeship. And you'll find that, you know, all along the way is that most of these federal judges got there by lining the pockets of the politicians that put them up for power. So they are the yes men of the special interests. And I go through that. I detail some of the contributions in my book. People don't realize this. And it had to be told that we have no legal system. And how do you defend yourself when you have no legal system peacefully and legally? How do you do that? You can't.
Yeah.
And that's the quandary we're now in. And that's why I get up every morning trying to think of ways peacefully and legally we can reclaim the country. And, you know, the book details some of those ways.
Well, in my mind, the main purpose of the judicial system is to give the population confidence in the institutions of government. And I think it's failed miserably at that job.
Well, it has, and it's also failed to protect the people. And like I said, they make determinations themselves what cases will continue and those which won't. But the reason our founding fathers created a jury system for civil cases, you had that only in ancient England, you know, with murder cases in effect, you know, criminal murder cases. They extended it because they did not trust the judges. They knew the judges would become the vassals, the tools, the stooges of the ruling class. But now they're taking these cases away from the jury consistently. And the appellate courts are no better than the lower courts, and they're doing the same thing. And then the Supreme Court, which has become a bunch of political hacks, you know, they don't review these cases generally. Look, just yesterday there was a case they refused to take up. Only two justices, Justice Thomas and Alito, wanted to hear about transgender bathrooms, whether people should be forced to use transgender bathrooms. You know, and why wouldn't you take that case up? Why wouldn't you decide that issue for the American people? Why let this thing fester? They don't want to deal with hard issues. They don't want to deal with the fact that we've killed millions and millions of babies. They don't want to deal with it. They just scratch the surface on that. Just, you know, a week and a half ago, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in Missouri struck down a law by the Missouri legislature that said that you can't have an abortion after 8 weeks unless, you know, there are extenuating circumstances. A baby's heart starts beating at 7 weeks. It's a human being, even before that, but it starts beating at 7 weeks. These judges just sanctioned murdering children. What could be worse than that?
And not, you know, much.
And I'm a Jewish Christian. I would consider myself a Jewish and evangelical at the same time. I mean, Jesus was a Jew. But I'll tell you something. I've come around to the opinion that what we're now experiencing very well may be God's wrath of killing all these unborn children. And I think, you know, that's why we better shape up ourselves or ship out.
Well, we send so many things to court that can be solved easily without going to court. For instance, the judges have said that the school has to have transgender bathrooms. Well, all right, so I have one bathroom for those people who are transgender. Let every other bathroom be cisgender.
Right, exactly. But the Supreme Court wouldn't address that?
Yeah, you don't need to go to court to get that fixed.
Only Alito and Thomas wanted to hear that. About a month ago, I had an antitrust case up there to break up big tech. Only Justice Thomas said the matter should be heard. The rest of them didn't want to hear it. You have this hack judge in Washington yesterday dismissing a case by the Federal Trade Commission. I used to represent them at the Justice Department, the Federal Trade Commission. Boasberg, ultra-leftist, real hack, won't even threw the case out, said, we can come back to me with another complaint. That complaint was sufficient. You know, making decisions that harm the American people. This is a judge who wouldn't let the photo of Osama bin Laden's alleged dead body, assuming he was killed when they said they killed him, probably died of natural causes. You know, probably that was created to get Obama reelected, but wouldn't let that photo to be released. What Privacy Act interest is there of a terrorist, frankly, or his family, for that matter? So these are the people that are sitting there like gods deciding, you know, what our legal system is and what it isn't. And without the means, with honest, courageous judges to defend us, the only option, and I don't want to see it, but the only option will turn out to be Jefferson's prophecy of a bloody revolution.
Larry, you've got a fabulous event called the Continental Congress that's just happened. Can you please inform our listeners about it?
We had an event. Well, really, it's more than an event. It was a sacred meeting of people, much like the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia, that led to the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. We assembled delegates from around the country, and you can find it, because it's recorded, at freedomwatchusa.org. That's freedomwatchusa.org. I hope people will watch it. And we are at the point with this total leftist takeover. In effect, they have the equivalent of a noose around our neck with the brain-dead President Biden and the cackling witch Kamala Harris doing the bidding of the radical left. is that we discussed whether we need to declare independence again. And I brought before the delegation, the Third Continental Congress, and it was held at the Visitor Center in Philadelphia at Independence Hall. And we had to go forward with that, you know, in terms of, you know, making our points known. So I hope people will go there and see it. We're going to be deliberating in the next 2 weeks. We're going to get everybody together and decide what to do. But our idea is peacefully and legally, we need to wage a second American revolution. And I brought in delegates and speakers from all walks of life who have been abused and harmed by the government. And I said at the end that, you know, we need government for national security and defense. We need government to help unite us. But if what they're doing is oppressing us, we don't need government. We need to rise up ourselves. And that's what we did, you know, on July 4th, 1776. Mm-hmm. To finish the thought, I was right in front of Independence Hall, hallowed ground. And I'm suggesting that we take the government back to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We don't need all these buildings that look like Disney World, you know, in Washington, D.C. We take it back to the real deal. And we don't need all these federal government workers, frankly, that, you know, go to work and eat coffee and donuts for 2 or 3 hours before they get to work in our tax time, frankly, and mostly they're of the deep leftist state in any event. So that's what I said. It's not radical. It's what our founding fathers did when they saw that their government no longer represented them. Yeah. And in fact, in the Declaration of Independence signed on or about July 4, 1776, it says, when in the course of human events, the sovereign no longer represents the American people, that we have a God-given right under the laws of nature and nature's God to alter or abolish that government and to form a new government by and for the people with equal rights for everyone in pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And as I write in my book, it takes a revolution. Forget the scandal industry, which I gave to everybody that was there and which you can get at freedomwatchusa.org or online at amazon.com and all the major booksellers. Is that Jefferson predicted that the biggest problem, the biggest basis for government abuse would become the federal judges. He was against them as unelected, unaccountable to the people. He said they would turn into despots and tyrants, causing us to shed the blood of patriots and tyrants yet again about every 20 years, adding, what's a few thousand dead to refresh the tree of liberty? He did not want to see anybody harmed or killed. Neither do I, neither do you. But he was predicting what would happen if we allow this cancer to continue to metastasize and become deadly. And we see the first manifestations of what he prophesied on January 6th. Now, it wasn't anything but peaceful. There were a few bad people on either side. But overwhelmingly, the people that came to support President Trump, and even those that walked into the Capitol, led in by the Capitol Police by and large, even they were peaceful. But they had seen just how corrupt their government had become, how non-responsive it had become. And when President Trump could not even get his own Supreme Court justices, much less his lower court judges, to give him a real hearing as to whether there was election irregularities or fraud, the people said, we've had enough. You know, it's over. And that's what's happening. And now what you see is the bureaucracy, the deep state pushback, particularly in the federal judiciary, saying that what the FBI has been doing, used by Biden and Harris as their own private Gestapo, locking up over 500 people, indicting hundreds, going in front of federal judges, not just Obama and Clinton, but also Trump judges and Reagan judges and Bush judges. And they're being threatened, the American people are being threatened, and they're not even able to get bail. They're left in prison, many of them. Some of them in solitary confinement, and judges, even ones that I used to admire, the few, like Judge Royce Lamberth, are in effect threatening the American people if they ever rise up again, that they'll be locked up and the key will be thrown away. It is the worst situation this country's ever faced, much worse than what we went through with King George III. He was not a socialist. He was not a communist. He was not an atheist. He simply wanted to tax the colonies, overtax us, so he could pay for the rest of his empire. We did not have representation. We have no representation now from Democrats or Republicans. That's to say the least, you know, with the Democrats that are pure evil. and the Republicans are just simply corrupt. And so what do you do when the American people are left to hang out to dry? And most of the Americans don't understand this yet. They're still, you know, fat and happy, going to play golf, tennis. You know, the extent of their activism is watching Sean Hannity give the same monologue every single night. And then they think that's enough. Or, you know, when Rush was alive, may his soul rest in peace, just listening to him. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to be entertained. We have to get up off the couch and get to work. And that's the subtitle of my book. Yep. It Takes a Revolution. Forget the scandal industry. Forget about the monetization of scandal on Fox News and other outlets like that. Not all are like that. Sinclair Broadcasting covered our event. But, you know, the American people now have their backs up against the wall. Or you could say we're laying on our back gasping for air. And this country's almost gone forever. And we better rise up quickly.
Indeed. Now, our listeners, can they go to your website and help you get your process moving and maybe donate or?
Yes, thank you. Yes, we need it. This was very expensive what we did, and we're doing a follow-up session where we will deliberate and decide what to do, and it'll always be peaceful and legal, I might add. But yes, go to freedomwatchusa.org. If you buy my book, if you donate more than $50, we'll send it to you for free. Cool. We really do need the help. We have our citizens' grand juries. We are actually, you know, on the front lines. You know, my former group mostly, you know, gets documents. Okay, that's fine. But they really don't use them that much. Is that it's not just getting documents. It's taking action. And right now is no longer the time for words. It's time for action.
Well, that leads me to a question you had. I understand, indicted Robert Mueller.
Yes, we indicted him, and we will be trying him this year. And we've also indicted Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and James Biden for massive bribery racketeering scheme from wow. Communist China, Ukraine, and Russia. We're in the process of indicting so-called Dr. Fauci. I keep thinking of Mengele when I think of Fauci.
That's too
frankly,
appropriate.
Yeah, but Hitler's doctor. Yeah, so
these indicted people will be tried in what courts?
A people's court. We have the right, the laws of nature, and nature's God, a people's court.
Okay,
and that's what we did before 1870, before we had a Justice Department. So let's do it again. The people need to rise up. We need to assert our rights.
Yes.
And we will do it fairly, and they'll have an opportunity to defend themselves. We'll have a judge, we'll have a jury, and we'll reach a verdict.
Well, let me ask you one further question. On the indictment of Joe Biden, who's going to go deliver the service to him that he's in trouble?
Well, I'm going to have to break right now. Let me be quick. I have that appointment that we talked about, but we're going to commission the sheriffs and the others to arrest him. We were not going to do it ourselves. Even in California, when someone's committed a felony and you know about it, you can arrest them and then turn them over to law enforcement. So we're going to ask law enforcement to do it.
Wow.
I'm going to have to run, guys. Thank
you
very
much.
Thank you, Larry. God bless you.
Thanks,
God look forward
bless
to being on
too.
Again. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. And again, you can order Larry's book. It's freedomwatchusa.org. You can also donate on that website, too. And Rick, what a wonderful man he is. I so enjoy having him on.
We need more like him. People who understand that change is not going to happen by watching television.
Yep, like Larry said, we got to get up off the couch, Rick. And I know you've got some more thoughts on this very subject we've been talking about all hour.
Friends. That interview was a lot of fun, and pretty darn frightening, too. Larry Klayman brings the voice of authority. He's played a central role in many of the court cases that are important to life in the U.S. as attorney of record, and his words are not an interpretation of what the central character said. They are exactly what was said, and why it was said. His knowledge of the history of governance is enormous, and he uses that knowledge to highlight what is wrong with both our judicial branch and our government in general. I can highly recommend his book, It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. It covers, in a highly readable style, the important court cases that corporate media barely covers. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so take what I say with that in mind. The judicial system was created to serve we the people, to protect us from each other and from our government. But in order to fulfill that role, the judicial system needs to look a lot different than it does now. It is far, far too expensive to take anything to court. Maybe small claims court should be sized at $50,000 or maybe $100,000 rather than down at $5,000. I can tell you that, in my mind, the judicial system's main purpose is to give Americans faith that their institutions and laws protect them. I think we have all lost that comfort. The people most often being protected are the people with the most money. The rest of us are in trouble. His suggestion on how to fix our broken legal system is interesting. He would fire all the judges and justices immediately and hold elections to fill those spots. I believe we should give all elected judges 4 years to serve, and after that, they should go back to being common citizens just like us. Larry and his team are holding a third constitutional convention in a few days in Philadelphia. This effort is to try to legally reshape our country and to right the wrongs that have arisen over the last few hundred years. Clayman's fear is that if we don't peacefully fix what is wrong, the fix, when it comes, will be of a more violent nature. To be sure, there are a lot of heavily armed groups that are unhappy with the direction of the country. The difficulty is that there are powerful forces that are against changes of any sort. Entrenched politicians who have grown old and rich in the job will certainly not want to face being kicked out of office. Having said that, term limits are a critical change that needs to happen, both for the judiciary and for the legislative branches. Clayman's efforts to create a nonviolent solution are interesting, and to my eye, they're legal. He believes that many, if not most, of our elected officials should be tried for crimes they have committed while in office. It is a cinch that today's federal and state attorneys will not investigate the very powerful politicians. This leaves the job up to we the people. Larry Klayman is using the tool that the grand jury to allow citizens to force charges to be brought against elected officials who are breaking the law. His research shows that the grand jury is in the Bill of Rights and is therefore a legal tool. However, it does not appear in the Constitution itself, and that means it's not under the direct control of any of the three branches. Therefore, the founders, and bless their souls, gave we the people a fully legal tool to get rid of bad actors in our government. This is not dissimilar to the New York City impaneling a grand jury to investigate Trump for crimes. The grand jury has been active for more than 2 years, and as of this week, announced that Mr. Trump would not be indicted. Newsflash, if New York City can do it, so can we the people. According to Klayman, a grand jury can be impaneled by citizens. It can look for crimes due to merely to a suspicion of their occurrence, or it can look if only to satisfy itself that a crime has not occurred. Once such a grand jury returns an indictment, the legal system is obligated to act on that indictment. And here's where things would get a little sticky. Clayman's team has impaneled a grand jury to look into bribery and other crimes as committed by three men, Joe, Hunter, and James Biden. I'm not sure where this grand jury is in the process. You can go to the website freedomwatchusa.org to check it out. But if they return an indictment, exactly how would they arrest a sitting president? Hunter and James would be easier, but I suppose Joe could pardon them up front. The optics of this would not be great, but it would protect them. But who exactly is going to walk past the Secret Service to put Joe in handcuffs? Can you imagine the perp walk on television? It might be easier to arrest Nancy, Ilhan Omar, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, and many others. Heck, I might even volunteer my services. But this is Larry Klayman's peaceful solution to our issues. I know it's never been done before, but something must be done before we enter another shooting war. And we're a lot closer than you might think. Larry has one piece of advice for it all, for all of us. Turn off the television. Stop watching the scandal industry that we know is the news. That would include both Fox and Newsmax, as well as CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest. They are all in business to keep us glued to the television and breathless at the scandals that they bring us. They're not important to life. Get up, turn off the television. Stop watching the scandal industry. Take this time to read a book. Go to a school board meeting. Go to a meeting of the Republican Party or Libertarian or the John Birch Society, or even go to a meeting of the local Democratic Party, if only to convince yourself why you live your life on the conservative side of things. But the thing to remember in all of this is that you have the best job in the world. You are an American citizen. This provides enormous benefits, regardless of the color of your skin, or the country your parents came from, or the religion you practice. But, and please hear this, being an American citizen also lays at your feet a significant set of obligations. You must educate yourself on our country and why it's the best thing going. You should not be afraid to share your knowledge with people new to the country. You should understand the difference between capitalism and socialism. You should know who you vote for and why you vote for them. Mm-hmm. You should spend more time investigating local elections. These have the most impact on your daily life. Who is running for council seats? What do they believe? How about the school board? These are elections that we ignore at our own peril. Do not vote for a party because that's the way you've always voted or your parents voted. You absolutely must know why you are voting for any person. This is your country. Are you willing to give it away? And lastly, volunteer anywhere. The local hospital, local schools, local charity groups like churches. Help them help the less fortunate. And if you can help the less fortunate, you will grow to understand how fortunate you yourself are. Being a citizen is the most important job you and I have. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people all over the world who want to take it away from us. They want America to stop being America, because once America falls, there will no longer be freedom anywhere in the world. Well, that's it for today's show. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed producing it for you. Coming in future shows will be John O'Connor, who has interesting information about how Watergate has shaped our lives today, and Dr. Patrick Moore, co-founder of Greenpeace, who will tell us all about the incredible lies being told about climate change by the global warming community. And lastly, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, The American, simply text your email to 408-389-1958. That's 408-389-1958. Or you can send an email to newsletter@AmericanEndeavorInc.com. That's newsletter@AmericanEndeavorInc.com. That's all for now. Come and visit us again next week.
Yes, we are here every Saturday for your listening pleasure, and hopefully you learned something too. I know we do. Bringing you such engaging guests, we'll be here again, and every Saturday,